You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today, let's talk a little bit more about warrior awareness. We did a recent episode on this coming from the Apache perspective. We will continue on with two perspectives. With this particular yakety yak, we'll be talking about the Comanche warrior perspective and also looking, seeing through the eyes of the old masters, the artists of the world. We did offer a print version of what we're going to rediscuss here. It's a bit more expansion, addresses some concerns about how to keep this flying all the time, and also I'll give you some exercise, some homework if you want it, 12 days of it, as a matter of fact. And again, this couples very, very well with the prior episode on the Apache Awareness Pop Quiz. Now let's move on here. Strange as it may seem, there is an intriguing overlap between the so-called artistic eye and the indigenous warrior concept of always seeing. From our vocabulary, for the program we use here is called the Suokito. Always seeing can also be gussied up to the tactical jargon of always awareness. Now, always awareness, to my mind, surpasses the weak tactical sister and far more touted situational awareness. We hear this all the time. Which situational awareness, by definition, is situational. That is, that's only used upon occasion. Always seeing, the Suokito, is just that. It's being alive and awake to all, everything in this wide world before us, the heavens above us, and the flora, fauna around us. And then when we're talking fauna, the animals, of course, we're talking about that too, these two-footed critters we call humans included. Paying attention to everything. Now, situational awareness by dint of being a cortisol-activated bottom-up neural process, it cannot be elevated to always awareness, as the continuous cortisol infusion would create health problems. Okay, that's cortisol and create stress in the system. It's meant to fuel us and have us do something, but if we're not actually doing something, we're staying emotionally primed, and it can over time, you know, lead to some entropy in the system, mentally, emotionally, and ultimately physically. So that's why we keep. Now, this is the other reason about redlining, even just physical workouts. If we're actually trying to build a strength base or a particular base, too much redlining is actually eats into your gains. Now, it is surmised that much of the anxiety, depression diagnosis and life are rooted in oversensitive reaction to stimuli, you know, external or internal, and this is leading to the steady suffusing of cortisol. It's often, the metaphor is often used in the prior times, that, you know, just leaving the home each day could be, you don't know if you're going to encounter a saber-toothed tiger, a venomous snake, a marauding band of other a tribe around you that might be bringing you down. But we don't really face that, so we have a tendency to take whatever stressors we do have and we elevate them in the mind, so we've moved to abstraction and make them tougher. You know, Janet's talking about me at work. Oh my God, hey, look at this traffic. And we keep this cortisol saturation going by dint of the fact we don't have any other place to really use it well, but responding to this continual cortisol saturation, well, this is a lot of the health problems. This is also, the cortisol does help prime and help us pay attention, prick up the attentional bias whenever we are in a peak period. So obviously we're walking around with standard awareness going on. That guy looks hinky over there. We start paying a bit more attention. That's moving towards situational awareness. Now, always awareness in the additional sense is paying attention constantly because you did come from an environment that did have dangers in it all the time. But even then, it wasn't always primed towards the, oh, this is a bad thing, situational awareness. You're also always looking for the good. It's primarily looking for the good. If you're paying attention to every single detail, like in the BBC series in Sherlock Holmes with the Benedict Cumberbatch, where he's taking in every detail, it's not to solve a crime, it's just to solve the world. Now, always awareness does not demand, require, or even desire cortisol to spur the nervous system alertness. It doesn't want it at all. Rather, it primes the system to awareness over alertness. There is a difference. Alertness implies that we're a little bit peaked, got that cortisol saturation, and awareness is just being alive and awake to it. And the awareness can easily morph to alertness if the correct stimuli prompts. If you're already alive and awake and aware, paying attention, and then all of a sudden, something strange pops in the background, you're going to catch it. But if you're not already playing the awareness game, it's going to take a big pop for you to start noticing, and then you get to the alertness. So cortisol infused awareness looks for trouble, right? Now that's situational. Top down awareness, that is the steady state, the always awareness, sua keto awareness, never looks for trouble. It just simply looks. If there's trouble to be seen, it will be seen long before an overprimed cortisol saturated system can react. And always awareness will not overreact to stimuli, and also called false positives, because you've already laid the stimulus in the foreground and perspective. Always awareness looks to the abundance of beauty around us, which far surpasses the dangers, the threats, the boogeyman, and the environment. Always awareness translates this stimuli intake to what's called positive affect, which is the science talk for happiness and good moods. And situational awareness of cortisol saturation, well, that starts from the premise of uh-oh, and so it moves the emotional stance, the physical stance, and even the mental stance towards, hey, I'm looking for trouble here, and if you look for trouble, you're going to find it. Always awareness is going, look at everything. You're looking for the beauty, you're going to find it. The trouble is going to pop out easily. If you're looking for trouble, it's tough to notice the flowers, but the converse is not true. If you're looking for the beauty, you can find the turd in the rose garden easily enough. Now, if some think you can't always be aware all the time, I know that it's some people's complaints with this because they're really comparing it to the cortisol saturation where you've got to be, I'm alert, man, I'm really paying attention, but this gets exhausting after a time. But that's, again, you're using the alertness version of it, using the cortisol saturation. Of course, you can't do it. You'll start, body them out on that. That's because the cortisol is actually causing the entropy in the system. The other side of the awareness, you can do it. People think, well, I can't pay attention that much, that long, no one can do it, that's too much. You got to go sit in a cave and really, ponder and meditate. No, you don't. You ever played video games for hours? Yeah, you sat absorbed as a film for a long time, a football game for a long time, and those first dates with your loved one, for how long these things you want to stretch on forever and ever, and it just time seems like, like 3 hours seems like 1 minute when you're with them. Well, you were using awareness at that time. You're totally absorbed in what's going on there. So you're really, we do this all the time. We just choose to be focused on single slices of the environment, single slices of our experience. And what sua keto is doing is trying to make sure that you're looking, you're not slicing up the world in such tiny, finite pieces. You're trying to take bigger slices of the life pie, as it were. So we're all perfectly capable of doing this. It's switching to the mindset, and our sua keto program does give you some serious step-by-step thing, because this is not meditating. This is not sitting there and trying to go, I open this up and everything flows to me. It's learning how to see and using actual drills and steps to get there each and every day. Anyway, enough science yakety yak. Let's look to the words of some artists and warriors themselves to assist in this always aware worldview. First comes from John Ruskin, quote, every duty we omit obscures some truth we should have known, unquote. Now, duty here is being an actor, an observation. The distant look in the loved one's eye over the last few weeks, is that a sign of dissatisfaction? Is it pain? Well, if you're not paying attention, you don't know to ask. You do not know to attend to it. How about the blooming of the trees this spring? Have you noticing that? They're absolutely gorgeous. Did we all notice that the blossoms and buds begin in the southern exposure, which turns every tree in sight into one magnificent compass this time of year? It's absolutely amazing. Let's move on to a Comanche phrase, which is Tabi Nagnika, a Comanche warrior maxim that translates to, here's the sunrise. This refers to the fact that most of us think, oh, here's the sunrise. Did you see it this morning? The Comanche warrior maxim is reminding us that the world is a cross-sensory reference. We use the human sensorium. A sunrise is not simply seen by the warrior. Its warmth is felt. The rise in temperature leads to the microbes in the soil outgassing and giving us that fresh spring scent. The music box of birdsong tells us the time, the first call of the robins, to the Phoebe's chorus shortly thereafter, the Cardinals next, and so on and so forth. We wake up early enough, we're going to hear the morning dove and everything. But if we sense nothing, well, we omit the duty in that John Ruskin sense. Let's move on to our next artist quote, Sir Joshua Reynolds. Quote, if you have genius, industry will improve it. If you have none, industry will supply its place, unquote. Well, see, some of us sense well from the beginning. Some of us have that genius for noticing from the very beginning. And if those of us with that gift, if we choose to develop it, we will exceed and excel with it. Well, some of us are not naturally awake. I was not. If we decide to make the effort becomes the genius. Industry is in all pursuits worth pursuing. You put your mind to it, it's going to happen. Again, that's what the sua keto program is for. It's the beginning of your industrious genius. Let's look to another Comanche quote here. It's puniti, tu su puniti, yoko puniti. The Comanche instruction on how to read the world. Well, that means look again. Always look. Now, look here being all senses looking. In the translation, if I asked you as a young warrior to look, it is taken to mean turn it all on. What do you see, smell, hear, taste, feel? You are a sensory antenna alive in a universe thrumming with input. But that's only if you activate that power. Again, I refer you to the Suaketo program. I'll put the link in there if you're going to go read more about it and see if this your cup of tea. Let's go to another quote from an artist. Let's go to Rembrandt. Quote, try to put well in practice what you already know. In doing so, you will in good time discover the hidden things which you now inquire about. Unquote. And I love that because it's telling you, a lot of people think, well, wait, when? What do I get? Where do I start? I mean, I need to get ready for it. No, you don't. Where do you start? Well, right where you are right now. When? Right now. How? Well, look, listen, smell, taste, touch. And of course, to gain deeper understanding, I would point to the Suaketo program, but you can get this going now. Look, pay attention, man. Or as the Comanche phrase is, tutukuru, which is just do the work. Go. Let's go to another artist quote here. This is William Blake. The trees which move some to tears of joy is in the eyes of others only a green thing which stands in the way. Unquote. There you go. Absolutely. It's in the perspective of it. And that gives you the difference between the being indifferent to what's going on in the world or attentional blindness and actually being in awareness all the time. We look over nothing. We see the beauty in all. That tree is beautiful. We also see the utility in everything as well. Beauty and utility need not be separated in the warrior's indigenous sense. Be it the gorgeous blue hue of the male eastern red cedar. I mean, you can see the difference of the sexes of the cedars just by whatever hues you're seeing from the trees from a distance. But yet the utility comes across it as well. I mean, that doesn't help me right there because not being, you know, sexually attracted to trees, I don't need that particular aspect. But it does allow me to know which ones will produce juniper berries, which ones will not. It also makes me pay attention to this gorgeously useful tree. It lets me know I can walk up and peel this bark off easily, roll it to dust in my fingers, and I use it as an ever-present fire starter. That's how I start the grill each and every time. Just roll it, pull off the tree, good to go. What you attend to in the world is your life, man. Here's another quote from John Ruskin. What we like determines what we are and is the sign of what we are, and to teach taste is inevitably to form character. So what are you saying here is what we attend to, what we pay attention to. This is your life. Absolutely it. Whatever is going through your noggin right now, that's your life. If you're paying attention to my words, well, I'm your life right now, man. Sorry about that. Now, whatever is going on, is it your phone is your life? Ephemeral news feeds, video games, walks of the forest, kind acts, times with loved ones? Our lives are what we pay attention to, and pay is the correct word. Each second spent, well, that never comes back, man. It is spent. It is gone. We will always wisely ask, does what I'm doing right now, does this time spent return on my investment, or am I simply spending my life doing this, whatever it is right now? Ask yourself, would I be happy dying, do what I am doing at this very moment? If you ask yourself that often, and this is actually the old Stoic question, it's the indigenous warrior question, it's the question of the samurais. Could you die doing it right now? Would you be embarrassed of it? Would you be shamed by it? Would you go, I've just been laying back here just, you know, picking the land out of my toenails. Is this what you want to be going out doing, man? Another phrase from the frontier, men to match the mountains. That was said of rugged mountain men and frontiersmen. Those who went to the mountains and thrived, they absorbed the beauty, the ruggedness, the stolidity, and they never wanted to go back. Each time they came back to civilization, they went, nah, they had to go back. They became what was out there. So because you're seeing beauty doesn't mean you became soft. Not at all. It means you became absorbed and you realize it changes your perspective about what is important, what's to see. Another artist quote, Da Vinci. Iron rust from disuse, stagnant water loses its purity, and in cold weather becomes frozen. Even so does inaction sap the vigors of the mind. Now, Da Vinci, man, this guy could see. If you take a look at his journal, which are absolutely gorgeous, there are notes, and one statement that always struck me, it's on how to paint a battle scene. And he goes into minute detail about how to do this, whether it's the glint of light on a flashing blade, numerous other details that we take for granted by looking. I mean, he could tell the dust that would trail from a stampeding hoof, how many hooves are off the ground at a particular moment, in a particular trot. And keep in mind, this is all before still photographs, things that we take for granted now. We can all sit around and look at a Frank Frazetta painting or a movie poster. Film. We can call up images all the time and look and see things frozen in time. This man didn't have that benefit. This man was just looking and seeing and breaking down the world in these minute slices that most of us will never, never get at unless we look at a still photograph. He saw these details by seeing things in action, yet he was able to break them down. Details that many of us never see, even with the benefit of a still photograph to study. Once you really hear him expound what he's seeing, with inaction, and we have to go look at it in a still photograph and go, yeah, damn, this guy's right. And I have to use this slowed down kindergarten tool to figure it out. He saw these details in action, no benefit of a freeze frame, a life of action. And yet this man still took the time to see, and he never stopped seeing. When the Comanche warrior was asked, when does a warrior stop being a warrior? Kisuketo, which is to the last breath, always. Now, we have to ask ourselves to get going on this. Obviously, I'm going to keep pointing to you. I'm going to tout it again and again because it's useful. The Suaketu program is just a morning 8-minute. It's not meditation. It's not introspection. There's no point in going inward here. It's learning how to get outward on things, pay attention. But we need to be alive and awake all the time and carry that forward in the world. Sometimes it helps to gamify our awareness so we're always reminding ourselves to be on the lookout. And part of on the lookout, I would say, is to maybe taking each and every day and putting a goal or a game in front of you and say, to make your life a game, to find new ways to see things. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you a dozen things. If you want to do the homework, and it's not a dozen, it's like a scavenger hunt, but it's one item a day. And all, let me ask you, I will name an item, and then you will pick a particular day and go, this is all I'm looking for. So, for example, today, the rest of the day, no matter where you go, what's going on, look for security cameras. I don't care if it's a Ring doorbell camera. If you're going to your bank, you're looking at that. You're in a convenience store. Look where the cameras are. The next day, look for abandoned payphones. There's still a few out there. Just look for them. Don't look for the ones who you thought you knew. Pay attention. Look around. I found many things just by having a random list of things and going, today's the day for this. And keep in mind, just because you're looking for this, you won't get so much tunneled on it. When you're looking for those cameras, the abandoned payphones, you don't get blind to everything else. Just by dint of looking for that, you start looking and seeing other things you might have overlooked before. Psychologists call this phenomena inattentional blindness. We take things for granted and things for general, and we start overlooking it. That's how we miss the look on the loved one's face, because we see the loved one all the time. We completely forget, and we miss it. Another day of homework, let's look for neighborhood watch signs. Find all the ones you can. Probably some in your own neighborhood. Sometimes I've asked people this, they didn't realize they're posted in their own around their own place. But anywhere you go, look for those. On the next day, let's look for anything natural, a plant, a bird. I mean, I've been in an airport when there's a bird flying up there in the rafters. But on that particular day, anything natural whatsoever. I mean, this is fairly easy out in the rural countryside, and I am blessed to live in a place like that. But sometimes when you get into the city, people think, well, there's not so much stuff around here. You go, my God, there's tons of it. Just pay attention. After that, I want you to look for bumper stickers. Have a whole day of that. Then perhaps another day after that, let's look for nothing but weeds, not flowers, not things. Think plants that were not planted here, so-called not wanted. Find them, the weeds in the cracks at your local Walmart. They're coming up in the parking lot. You know, it's life seeking for life. Whenever you stop at the stop sign, you look over and catch them, filling up the ditch or the drainage area. Look for those. Another day, let's look for Employee of the Month plaques. They're usually everywhere. They could be small, some are large and touted. Look for them. Another day, look for stray shopping carts. Any place where it's not supposed to be. How far did this one stray from Target? Why is this one overturned under the interstate? Well, we know why it's there, but just look for them. Find them. Another day, look for stray traffic cones. Again, not in their natural habitat, causing us all to slow down and become part of a traffic jam. Look for them where you don't expect to find them. On another day, let's look for every bike there is, not just on the road. It could be up on someone's Porsche, just leaning there, waiting for a kid to come back out and try it again. You know, one locked up outside of the mall, what have you. Another day, look for all hand-painted signs. Not any sign that we had commercially done, anything. Hey, garage sale coming up, yard sale coming up, missing cat. Look for something that somebody actually put time into and created on their own. And another day, let's look for cell phone towers. Nothing but. We use them all the time, and now they're kind of fading to the environment, and we forget that they're there, but look for them. And the idea is you don't have to use my suggestions, but if each day you take one and say, just this day, I'm looking for this. It doesn't mean that's all you will see. You're going to see so much more by dint of looking for the single thing that's on the goal sheet. Treat life like a scavenger hunt. You're looking for, or better yet, treat life like a treasure hunt. And it becomes that. You're going to find all sorts of things completely unexpected. The unexpected discovery, the flaneur, as the French would say it, or a philosopher Nassim Taleb would call it, or the yukuru, as the Comanche would call it. But also, if you're always looking for these things, you're looking for just the innocuous thing, playing your game of life. If there's something to be noticed that's going to go bad, you're going to notice it and see that because you're too busy looking up and not looking at your phone or looking at nothing or being blind to what's around you. Again, I'm going to give you a link to both that Sua Keto program, a link to a print version of this, also a link to all of our other products. And I would heartily urge you to listen to our other material. If this you know rings a bell with you, strikes a chord to the Apache Awareness Pop Quiz, we've got tons of other podcast episodes and blog entries and support materials for awareness, because move beyond situational, move to always awareness. Your life's better for it, and also, if there's ever trouble, you'll be the first one to spot it. Take care of yourself, crew. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musics.